Yunamalam vichaksha. Like the sun, your goodness can travel everywhere in the three worlds. And like the air, you can penetrate the internal region of everyone. As such, you are as good as the all-pervasive super soul. Please, therefore, find out the deficiency in me, despite my being absorbed in transcendence under disciplinary regulations and vows. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Transcendental realization, pious activities, worshipping the deities, charity, mercifulness, nonviolence, and studying the scriptures under strict disciplinary regulations are always helpful. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text number 7. Here we find that great literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord, Narayan, whom we are all eternally indebted to. Srila Vedavyas. It was Vedavyas who descended into this world to give us all the scriptures. The Vedas are the original scriptures. And all the scriptures of all the religions in every part of the world are considered supplementary to the original Vedas. And we mean this not only historically, because the Vedas were the original scriptures, but we also find that all the essential information of all the great religions of the world are most completely and perfectly explained within the original Vedas. Vedavyas, he took the one Veda and divided it into four. The Atharva Veda, Yajur Veda, Rig Veda, and Sama Veda. But what is the need? What is the purpose of writing these scriptures? It is not simply to give an intellectual understanding to human society. It is meant to change people's hearts, to transform their lives from a life of exploitation to a life of service to the Supreme Lord. The purpose of the Vedas and all the great spiritual teachings is to make us pure-hearted lovers of Krishna. Not to make us into scholars, not to make us into tapasis, to make us into liberated lovers of Krishna. So in order to do the needful, Srila Vyasadeva wrote Vedic literatures for every possible class of human society to give them an opportunity to gradually elevate themselves toward devotion to the Supreme Lord. So for this purpose, he wrote the Upanishads, principally 108. He wrote the Puranas, principally 18. He wrote the Mahabharata. The Mahabharata is approximately 100,000 verses. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam, it's only 18,000 verses. It's only less than one-fifth the size of Mahabharata. It's a very extensive literature. And yet it is in perfect rhyme and poetry. No one but the Supreme Lord can write such a transcendental literature. And 18 chapters of Mahabharata, of course, we know, is the summary study of all transcendental knowledge in the form of Sri Bhagavad Gita. And to summarize everything in very short codes, he wrote the Brahma Sutra, or Vedanta Sutra. But despite rendering such service for the upliftment of all living beings, he was dissatisfied. He felt that he had not served his purpose in the service of all living beings. Now, a great personality is not concerned with his own fame, nor is he concerned at all with his own accomplishments. He's only concerned with one thing: how he's helping others. So Vedavyas, he accomplished what nobody has ever done. He wrote all the Vedic literatures. And how famous and great he would be for all eternity. But yet, he was sitting in Badrik Ashram on the bank of the holy river Saraswati. And he was very sad. His heart was filled with despair, because he felt that he really hadn't given the world what it needs. It is the nature of the soul, which is the source of all consciousness in all life, to find pleasure and gratification in sacrifice. Trying to enjoy is actually a miserable condition for our soul, because it is completely against our inherent nature. Dehinosmin yatha dehe komaram yovaram jada tatha dehantara praptiya dhirastatra namuvita na jayate mriyate va kadachin nayan bhupavavita vanabhuya ajo nitya shashvato yam purano na hanyate hanyamane sarire samsijanani yatha vihaya na vani granati na roprani tatha sarirani vihaya janani anyati samyati na vani dehi. That the soul within the body is the source of real life. The body is always changing. This evening we see little babies, tiny children, school children, people just graduating from their college, and we have mothers and fathers, and we have grandmothers and grandfathers, and great-grandmothers and great-grandfathers. They're all here tonight. All different stages of the body's evolution. But the soul that is evolving through all these bodily transformations remains the same. And Krishna explains that soul is eternal. It is unborn. It is undying. It cannot be cut into pieces by any weapon, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. And what is death? Krishna says, Vasamchi Janani Atavihaya, death is changing clothes. It is like that. You are not your clothes. But every morning you put on new clothes, and every evening you take off those clothes. For the soul, when this body is worn out, it has too many holes in it, or the fibers are gradually just disintegrating, or some situation takes place where the body is no longer properly functionable, then the soul just leaves it. And according to our actions and our desires in our life, we take a new body. There are 8,400,000 species of life. 900,000 aquatics. Jalaja Navalakshanam. And then there are 2 million species of trees and plants. And then there is 1,100,000 species of reptiles and insects. And there is 1 million species of birds. And there are 3 million species of animals with four legs. And there are 400,000 species. Chatur Lakshana Manasa. 400,000 species of human beings. So the soul can be transported to any of these species of life according to the nature of its consciousness at the time of death. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajatyante kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sadatad bhava bhavata. Whatever your consciousness is at the time of death, that is where the soul will go. So human life is not meant simply to try to make nice arrangements for this body, because this body is destined to perish. Human life is meant to live in such a way and cultivate a consciousness that the soul is elevated after this, in this life and after this life. And ultimately, the destination of the soul and the goal of this life is to come to our original natural position of to enter into the spiritual realm of pure consciousness, of pure unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedavyas wrote literatures which taught people how to elevate themselves with better material prosperity in this world. Because it's natural in our conditioned state, we want better health. So there is Ayurveda. We want nicer living conditions. We can elevate ourselves to higher planets. Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Bhuloka, Satyaloka, Janaloka, Maharloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, ultimately Brahmaloka, where there is no disease, there is no mental anxiety, where you have a body that lives for millions and millions and millions of years, and everything around is made of pure gold and silver and jewels, and you just have everything, and you never have to go to a factory, and you never have to go to an office. You just enjoy for millions of years. How many would like such a life? You are all renunciates, I think. Of course, if actually, because a sannyasi's offering, you know I can't give it to you, so it's easy to not. But if you actually had the opportunity, I think some of you would raise your hands. Vedavyas was giving all that to anyone who wanted it. Nigama kalpataroagalitam phalam sukam mukharamrita dravasam yutam pibada bhagavatam rasamalayam ahuram ahorasika bhuvi bhavakaha. That the Vedic literatures are like a desire tree. Anything you want, you can get. Vedavyas tells you how to get it. You want powers? How do you think Hiranyakashipu and Ravana became so powerful they could conquer the world? By understanding the Vedas. And by practicing the system which teaches you how to gain those powers. They were actually great scholars of the Vedas. Anything you want. There is the Kama Sutras, which are derived from the original Vedas also. If you want the ultimate pleasure of sex, the Vedas teach you how to get it. If you want lagima, mahima, anima, prapti, all these various siddhis, vishita, ishitva, prakramya, kama vishayata, all of these great powers, the Vedas teach you how you can get them. Even if you want to live in this world for hundreds of years, the Vedas give you anything you want. Vedavyas gave the world anything they want. And yet he was miserable because he felt, I've given them nothing worthwhile. The Vedas also give, especially in the Upanishads, the understanding by which we can become liberated, situate ourselves within the platform of mukti, moksha, where we're liberated from birth and death, apparently forever. And anyone who wants it, take it. It's in the Vedas, the way and the means. And he also gave information of pure devotional service, elevation to Vaikuntha and Goloka. But he was still dissatisfied. At that time, his spiritual master, Sri Narada Muni, appeared. And he explained to Vedavyas, in your gift to humanity, you've given everything except one thing. And that one thing is the only one thing that will satisfy the soul. That is pure, uncontaminated, unmotivated, unmixed devotion to God. You have explained it, but you've also mixed it all up with everything else. You must write a literature that does not compromise in any one syllable with the purest and highest goal of pure unalloyed bhakti, prema. And the conclusion was that Srila Vedavyas, he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the second verse, he explains the purpose of this scripture. Dharma prajita kaita vatra parama niramat saranam satam vedyam vastava matra vasu sivadam tapatrayon mularam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamune Krite Kimba Parayarishwara Sadya Kabahritaruti Kriti Vishu Shastubik Shakshana. That from the very first word of this Bhagavat Purana, we kick out anything but the ultimate goal of life. No artha kama dhamma moksha. No consideration of economic development. No consideration of sense gratification, religiosity, piety, or charity. Or even no consideration of liberation. Only unalloyed surrender to the Supreme Truth, Krishna. Here we find Vedavyas addressing his guru. In this lila, he is teaching all of us how we should approach a spiritual authority or how to approach the Vedic literatures to really imbibe a true change in our life. Vedavyas was perfect in every respect. There is no one who can compare to him. And yet, he is presenting himself before his Gurudev in a state of such urgency. And he's saying, please, therefore, find out the deficiency in me. Despite my being absorbed in transcendence under disciplinary regulations and vows. Vedavyasa is explaining that he is absorbed in transcendence.
and he's undergoing strict disciplinary regulations and vows to live in Bhadrika Ashram 365 days a year for hundreds of years, you have to follow very strict disciplinary vows. And you have to be situated in very high transcendence. And Vedavyas, we can speak for hours about the wonderful attributes and activities that took place in his life. But yet, he is asking his guru, please, find out the deficiencies in me and tell me. That is what I want to know from you. I'm not coming to boast to you about all that I have done. I have not come to flatter myself. Oftentimes, people, they're very proud of their accomplishments. I have given this much in charity. I have fed so many poor people. I have opened up hospitals. I have performed yajñas. I have done Nirjali Ekadasi for the last 80 years, every Ekadasi without missing. And I have studied and memorized so many wonderful and difficult slokas. And I have controlled my senses. I've been celibate my whole life. In fact, the thought of sense gratification has never once even entered my mind. We can say so many things. And obviously, Vedavyasa was qualified to say all these things. But if we want to make advancement in spiritual life, we don't tell people about the wonderful things that we've done. We ask people to tell us our deficiencies. Then we can improve. Then we can advance. In the Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, Arjuna was displaying to Krishna his incredible wisdom. Krishna, I do not want to fight this war because I'm a very compassionate, soft-hearted person and I don't want to commit any violence to anyone, and this is a good attribute. And besides that, I have a whole philosophy based on the Vedic literatures to support my arguments of why I know what's best for me. But ultimately, he presented all these things, but he was miserable. You'll never find happiness in seeing your own goodness and attributes. And you'll be miserable trying to convince others of how wonderful you are. Because somebody will always be there who doesn't believe you. And even if the whole world believes you, your own soul doesn't believe you. Because the self, the false ego is insatiable. It can never be satisfied. So just see what a spell of illusion this whole world is in. Everyone wants to broadcast the wonderful things that they've done and what a wonderful person they are. There are people in the modes of ignorance, passion, and goodness. Tamaguna, Rajaguna, Sattvaguna. People in the mode of Tamaguna, ignorance, they like to associate with other people in the mode of ignorance, and they love to brag. Do you know how many glasses of whiskey I drank today more than anybody else? They can put me in the Guinness Book of World Records. And everybody around says, you are very great. Do you know how many glasses of whiskey he has drunk? There are people like that. Do you know how many people I have beat up with my bare fists, which are strong as steel? I have beat up 20 grown men in one time. And everyone go, he's so strong, he's so tough, he's so powerful, he's so great. This is the mode of ignorance. Some people, they will brag that they could sleep more than anybody else. I can sleep 23 and a half hours a day. And people go, you are very great. This is the material world. So somehow or other, everyone wants to broadcast themselves as great. People in the mode of passion. I've had sex life competing with the pigeons. No human being can do like me. And believe me, in the world, this is something very... India has not advanced so much like this, but in every other part of the world, this is what's considered a great opulence. How many times you can have illicit sex in a day. Or, I have made so much money. I started with nothing. I started my life selling chickpeas on the side of the road. I started my life washing people's windows on the side of the Bombay highways. And now I have 50 factories and hundreds of millions of crores of rupees, and I did it myself. People say, yes, he is so great. And people in the mode of goodness, they will say, do you know how many hospitals I have built? Do you know how many people I have cured by my influences? Do you know how much food I have distributed? Do you know how many wonderful things I've done for people depending on me? Do you know how many yajnas I've performed? Do you know how many mantras I've chanted? Do you know how many holy places I've visited? And everyone is saying, yes, you are very great. And for others, they declare, their austerities, their penances, their tapasya. But factually, in glorifying ourselves, in trying to see, enjoy, appreciate, and convince others about our own good qualities, we become bound up by the illusion of ahankar, the false ego. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that even if you act very close to perfectly in the mode of goodness, you become conditioned by attachment to that pride of your own goodness. And it blocks any opportunity for you to enter into the pure loving service of the Lord. So here we find Vedavyas, who is the embodiment of all wonderful transcendental qualities. And he is appealing to his Gurudev, please find out the deficiencies in me, the deficiencies in me, and explain to me how I can improve, how I can become a better devotee, how I can become purified. If we really want to make spiritual advancement, we must have this consciousness. Prakrite kriyamana ni gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimutatma karataham iti manyate. That the bewildered spirit soul thinks himself to be the doer of his activities, but actually they are carried out by nature. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. And Krishna is the controller of nature. Therefore, he is sarva karana karanam. He is the cause of all causes. He is all there is. The greatest and most difficult deficiency in the entire creation is that we want to take credit for what we do. We don't want to take the blame, but we want to take credit. But saintly people, they want to take the blame, but they want to give all credit to Krishna and to Krishna's divine servants. But this is very difficult. Being celibate, enduring severe fasts, are actually very, very simple and easy compared to being humble. Truly humble. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina amanadena kirataniya sadahari. But we can only approach Krishna, Bhagwan, when we are completely humble. There's no other way. There never was and there never will be. And the whole purpose of this material creation is to beat you down, to make you humble, sometime. And it's a question of our choice how long we want to suffer the repetition of birth and death and the frustrations of all our expectations until we are willing to say, Krishna, I am your servant. I am yours. All credit, all glory is for you. Please, Krishna, find the deficiencies in me. Lord Sri Krishna appears in this age of Kali Yuga in his divine Yuga avatar of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. One day, in the house of Srivas Pandit, who is actually the same Narada Muni that Veda Vyas is addressing in this verse today, in his incarnation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was revealing his divine opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which was very rare, because generally he played the role of a devotee to teach everyone how to become a pure lover of Krishna by his own example. And what he taught everyone is essentially there are two important things in this world that we must always worship. One is the Vaishnav devotees of the Lord, and two is the holy name of Krishna. In essence, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya is how to humbly serve the devotees and how to come together with them in a spirit of love and chant the holy names. But on this day, for his most intimate, loving servants, he was fulfilling all their desires by revealing his supreme, eternal, opulent form of Godhead. But one devotee, he was completely neglecting. And he was such a nice devotee. Everyone loved him so dearly. His name was Mukunda Dutt. Mukunda Dutt would sing the kirtan of the holy name with such sweet and humble devotion that anyone who would hear him, their hearts would melt in the ecstasy of love of God. Because his heart was always melted in the ecstasy of love of God. We should know that when an advanced devotee chants the holy name, it is not a sound produced by his tongue. The sound vibration is produced by his very soul within his heart, and it is completely saturated with all the love of his heart. And it's simply coming out into the external world through the medium of the tongue and the mouth. So when one chants the holy names in pure love, he actually awakens and invokes that attraction to Krishna within the hearts of others. And Mukunda Dutt was always so lovingly serving the devotees, but he was being ignored. Everyone else was getting wonderful mercy except him. So he was very shy, and he was weeping tears from his eyes. And he was standing just outside the room. He felt so sinful that he didn't even feel qualified for the Lord to see him. So Vaishnavas are always concerned more with others getting the mercy of God than themselves. All the devotees there, the Lord was revealing his form of Ram and Krishna and so many beautiful opulences fulfilling everyone's desires. Yet everyone in the room was sad because Mukunda was being neglected. Is this our consciousness? Are we so concerned with our God brothers and our God sisters' spiritual advancement that we cannot be content unless we see they are getting special mercy from the Lord? This was the consciousness of all the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srivas Pandit approached the Lord, who had already fulfilled all his personal spiritual desires. And he said, Mukunda is weeping. He's very sad. Why are you neglecting him? He's such a perfect devotee. Everyone loves him so dearly. And he surrendered his body, mind, words, his life to you only. Please, give him your kind attention. And Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu became very angry. He said, don't tell me about this rascal Mukunda. You call him a devotee? First he touches my feet, then he beats me on the head with stick. First he comes to our kirtan and he sings such sweet loving songs. And then he associates with people and listens to them who say that God has no form, that God has no personality, that God's pastimes are an illusion, and ultimately his names are an illusion. By hearing those things or speaking those things, he is beating my form with a stick. He's a hypocrite. I never want to see his wretched face again. Mukunda heard each word, and he was crying so much. And he was crying out, will I ever see you again, my Lord? Will I ever? And Srivas, he came to the Lord and said, Mukundas, he's given his life to you. He's begging, will he ever see you again? And Mahaprabhu replied, he will see me after 10 million births. And upon hearing this, Mukunda began to dance in ecstasy. And as he was dancing, he was crying out jubilantly, I will see, I will see. Only 10 million births and I will see the Lord. Seeing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so pleased. He called Mukunda, come here now. But he was in such ecstasy, he couldn't hear. And the devotees were trying to get his attention. Come, the Lord is calling you. But he just kept dancing. I will see, I will see. So alas, the Lord took him. And he said, and he placed his feet on Mukunda's head. And he said, because you have such love and devotion to me, you have such unconditional surrender, I will fulfill all of your spiritual desires on this very day. And because of your humility, I am showing myself, revealing myself to you on this very day. Mukunda did not consider himself great. He said, "My Lord, it is true that you are showing yourself to me. But you also showed yourself to Kamsa. He saw you. And yet because he was not a devotee, because he did not have devotion, ultimately, you had to kill him. And also, you showed yourself personally before all the great princes and kings at the marriage ceremony of Rukmini, such as Shishupal, Jarasandha, Salva. They all saw you. You were standing right before them. But they challenged you to kill you. And ultimately, you defeated all of them. Why? Because they had no devotion. And similarly, you also appeared before Hiranyakashipu, but because he had no devotion, he could not appreciate you. And ultimately, he was killed by you. And Hiranyaksha, his brother, he saw you face to face, your beautiful, loving form. But because he had no devotion, you did not reveal yourself in truth to him. When you entered into Mathura, all the ladies on the roofs, they saw you for the first time in their whole life. But because they had devotion, they achieved the perfection of love of God within a moment. And the wives of the Brahmins in Vrindavan, they never saw you before. But upon seeing you for 1 second, they achieved the perfection of your love, your prema, because they had devotion. But when Chanura and Mustika, the wrestlers, when they saw that same form, because they had no devotion, they challenged you, and you annihilated them. And Kamsa's tailor, the washerman, when that washerman approached you, he saw your beautiful form, and out of your mercy you said, "Give me some of this cloth." He blasphemed you. He condemned you. He threatened you because he had no devotion. So similarly, my Lord, out of your extreme causeless mercy, you are revealing yourself to me, not after telling births, but on this very day. But because I have no devotion, what is the use? I am condemned. But your mercy is my only hope. This is the nature of a real devotee. Even when he achieves the most special mercy of the Lord, he never thinks, "I am great, I am wonderful, I am advanced." He gives all credit to the causeless mercy of the Vaishnavas. Mukunda Dat expressed, "Because of the blessings of all these devotees who are so causelessly kind upon me, you are revealing yourself to me. It is not my greatness, it is theirs, and it is yours." Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninastatvadarshana. If we actually want to understand the truth, we must inquire submissively. Not just to be inquisitive, but we must inquire submissively. With a willingness to follow what we hear, which means to render service. Sevayam. Even if the highest and purest truth is being revealed to someone, if we are not humble enough to want to follow the instructions and apply them to our life, there will be no realization. So many times people come to Bhagavad Katha or Ram Katha, sometimes by the hundreds. Listening is very nice. It's very pious. But are we listening with a thirst to quench the emptiness in our heart, which is due to spiritual deficiency? And are we listening with such submissive mind that what we hear, we want to follow, and we will follow? And we must hear from someone who is following himself, or there will be practically no potency. This is what it is meant. Pariprashnena sevaya. To listen with the understanding that I do not know. Please tell me, and I'm willing to do it. Not as a fashion, but it is an offering of my life. This is the quality that cannot be replaced by any other consciousness if we want Krishna consciousness. There's no substitute. This was the example of Mukunda Dutt. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with him. He told him, I give you the blessing. Mukunda Dutt, the only blessing he wanted, just let me always have the dust of the feet of the devotees and let me always be your servant. He said, that is what you want? I promise you that whenever I incarnate in this world, you will be my intimate associate and you will always be giving me the ultimate pleasure by singing beautiful kirtans for me to dance and chant along with you. And knowing Mukunda Dutt's innermost heart, Mahaprabhu gave him such a wonderful benediction. Because Mukunda Dutt as a Vaishnava was very compassionate. Vansha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Devotees are like desire trees, because they always want to fulfill the desires of all living beings by giving them love of Krishna. So, Mahaprabhu, for the pleasure of Mukunda and all the devotees, he said, I give you the blessing that whoever hears you chanting the holy names, whoever they may be, their hearts will melt in ecstatic love of Krishna. He gave Mukunda the benediction that he could render the highest and most wonderful service to all living beings by giving them love of Krishna, by chanting the holy names. So this is the great gift of wealth that we receive when we have a humble heart. When we're searching for our deficiencies and always begging Krishna and his devotees to give us their causeless mercy. Like the sun, your goodness
can travel everywhere in the three worlds. And like the air, you can penetrate the internal region of everyone. As such, you are as good as the all-pervasive Supersoul. Please, therefore, find out the deficiency in me, despite my being absorbed in transcendence under disciplinary regulations and vows. This applies to us in a very practical way. By nicely associating with devotees, by being in a proper and humble service attitude, by inquiring submissively and following the instructions of the great devotees of the Lord, and by chanting the holy names in this consciousness, Krishna will reveal everything, absolutely everything to us, and give us the supreme gift, the supreme wealth of his causeless mercy and his divine love. Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam punam rathasharanam. Through this process of chanting Krishna's holy name, all of our innermost desires are fulfilled. Rio!